You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, and welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside Chris to my right, James to my left, my name is Ryan. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook for being our sponsor today and always. Guys, the Dallas Stars win by a final score of 3-1 over the Vancouver Canucks today. Huge game from the Dallas Stars today. Lots of things went right. There was almost nothing that went wrong. This was a playoff-style atmosphere, and the Stars come away with the win. The Dallas Stars showed up today, you guys. They really did.
Oh, initial baby. Thought. It was a great hockey game, first of all, and a great night to be a Dallas sports fan. The walk-off 10th inning in the banner unfurling game for the Rangers as well on opening day. And then we get to come here, watch the captain just play an absolute clinic of a hockey game, win it late in the third period, clinch the playoffs, take the lead in the Western Conference, and near up onto the Rangers for the President's Trophy. Oh boy, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, that is... really fun game. I mean, these are the ones that I love especially too, is a goalie duel for a majority of it. It's really very back and forth, lots of shots, good chances all around, and just great goaltending as well.
Yep. And it's exactly what we thought we would see tonight. The number two offense, number four offense playing a real close one goal game down to the wire. That's exactly what we thought would happen. Not.
All right, guys. That's not what I expected at all. I expected this to be at the very least, a 4-3 game, and it wasn't. It was, I should have expected this because this was a game that both of these teams had, you know, kind of marked on their calendar as one of the final kind of measuring sticks going into the playoffs. This was absolutely 100% a full playoff game.
Both teams, like they're the top four offenses. And they both looked really good defensively, especially in that first period. It was like lockdown, chess match, who's going to blink first? So, yeah. And then we saw it open up and we got to see special teams. It was just a great game. Both teams played really good tonight. The Stars played better and they got rewarded for it. It was great.
Okay, I want to talk about the big obvious thing coming out of this game because I was hacked off during the second period. And if that wasn't obvious... looking at, you know, anywhere on social media or if anybody was DMing me, I was hacked off. The refs were flat out terrible tonight. Flat out terrible. And yep. Honestly, this should have been the storyline, even with us winning the game here tonight. They inserted themselves into the game in the second period against both teams. There were stupid calls. There's not another word to describe how terrible the officiating was tonight. There was, and I'm not just saying against the Stars, it was against the Canucks too. Yep. Like both sides were stupid, like ticky-tacky, ridiculous calls when you could easily look at the first period and say, hey, the first period was great. It was excellent. It was back and forth both ways, chances for both teams, playoff atmosphere, defensive-minded, goaltenders are both locked in, doing pretty well. And then they go and do the crap that they do in the second period.
And really where you could kind of tell it was about to go downhill really quick with officiating was the very first call they made. They called the weird 4-on-4 that they called, where they called Johnston for interference and the other dude for interference on Johnston. That's That's not how the call works. I don't know if they know that, but that's not how it works. Either the Duke gets shoved in or he goes in under his own volition. It's one or the other. You can't have both. You don't just call both and it's 4-on-4. That's the stupidest thing ever.
Well, and like I said, it wasn't just, I'm not just complaining about the Stars. I'm really not. It was the calls against the Canucks too that were terrible. I just don't understand how you could be that bad and that terrible in a game like this. And thank goodness they swallowed their whistles in the third period and actually let them play. Now, what I do know that and Connor, thank you for being here, by the way. That's, you're amazing to be here considering you're a Canucks fan. You're kind of facing the enemy right here. But the only thing I knew about that game that I thought was a penalty in that third period was the high sticking call. I thought that was a decent call, and I thought that was the right call. Now, you from a Canucks perspective, you could also say, well, there were so many other calls that they missed against the Stars. Absolutely. And the thing was, is we took advantage of our opportunities. We were better on the special teams in tonight's game than the Canucks in both facets, on the penalty kill and on the power play, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that's important for the Stars to do, especially in their first game against a top-tier team since the Florida game happened. Is against Florida, the reason we lost was special teams, and the reason we win tonight is because of special teams, getting those two big goals and the big penalty kills as well. So I like that little contrast between those two games and how the special teams worked out there.
Yeah, and really the big thing for me this game is playing against these really strong opponents. We had the people who we needed to show up. I mean, it's Hintz, it's Ben, and it's Robo gets the empty netter.
And Otter.
The whole top line. Yeah, Otter showed up too. Huge. But the whole top line had a great night.
Agreed.
So James already brought it up. So let's dig into some of those guys. It's a very good way of putting it, James. The guys that needed to show up for the Dallas Stars showed up for the Dallas Stars tonight. And my disdain and how I was reacting to the Florida game and how we lost that game, completely gone. My confidence is fully back right now. And they're riding a 6-game winning streak. And one of the biggest reasons why I'm feeling a lot better about this is the play of Jake Oettinger. He has absolutely shown up in the last couple of games. And I thought it was kind of crazy. They talked about there was only 3 high danger scoring chances in the second period. I didn't think that was the case, and neither did any of the broadcasting team. And even in the third period, Otter was very good. He was very good for the Stars this evening.
And the timely saves, too. We've been talking about it all season. We're not getting timely saves. The timeliest of saves from the Stars. I mean, our best player gets pickpocketed, and they go the other way. And Otter just calmly makes the stop, punches it to the corner. Not even a good rebound afterwards. That was huge for Otter. That was rebound control. It was fantastic. He dropped one that hit his chest, and he immediately makes one of the biggest reaction saves of the night with the blocker, too. I mean, he was just fully on tonight. This is the first game in probably 6 months that we've seen like 100% Otter. He was fantastic, and he's been building up to this past week and a half. So yeah, hopefully this is actually him building up. He's here and he can sustain it.
It took him getting completely destroyed in that New Jersey game, though. That was a 6-2 loss to New Jersey, where he had a 600 save percentage. And since then, he has not had anything under 900. Yep. I mean, it's a 920, 909, 926, or 929, and then this game a 964. I mean, this was by far his best game in months, even.
And that's even more confidence in Otter now, because that's how he normally responds to stuff like that when it happens to him. When he gets punched, that's when he punches back hardest. So it was, love to see that.
It was also one of those few times where he loses 2 games in a row. And it was one of those where we're like, that's really weird. He loses 2 in a row, and he played bad in both of them. Yeah. And that was a big point for us. And he comes and punches right back in these last 4 games.
Yep.
The last time I can remember seeing this Otter was back in January, when there was a couple game stretch where Otter stole a couple of games for the Stars. And since then, he has not looked the same. And this gets me excited. And I have full, I have full confidence back in my team again. And I love this feeling and being able to know that the Stars can go out, they can play against a really tough team, a really good opponent, and come out on top. And to kind of correlate how good Otter was tonight, the defense in front of him was really good as well. And I'm not just talking about the defensemen in general, which they were very good tonight as well. But the general team defense was excellent tonight. They played the perfect road game and how you want to play against these teams when the playoffs come along.
Yep, absolutely. And your advanced analytics are backing that up extremely strongly. You go look at the Canucks expected goals and it is in the gutter. I think it's slightly over one. I don't know if you can double check that for me, James. I lost it here. But they play very well. Lots of perimeter stuff. When they do get inside, it was normally off of those rebounds, and Otter was either able to hold on to them or they were cleared out pretty easily. So the Stars very clean around their own slot tonight. They did a great job.
Yeah, the Canucks actually end with 2.8 expected goals on the night.
How many do the Stars have?
Guess.
Six.
6.5.
That's crazy.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, if you go look at the shot chart, the Stars have tons of chances in this lot, and they really did. When you look at, if you go back and think of some of those plays, the boards into the net was free space for the Stars all night long. They got chances from that spot the entire game. And that's where they scored the winning goal, is dead center of the slot on the power play.
It was truly a miracle they didn't score more. And I don't think it was all good from the Canucks either. Some of it was just plain luck that it bounced out of the way.
There were some huge saves from DeSmith and some not great shots from the slot. I feel like a lot of our slot shots tonight were from our guys who don't shoot from the slot a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like Jamie Benn and Joe Pavelski were getting all those shots. They did, obviously. Jamie Benn scores on that shot. But I feel like a lot of those were coming from weird guys like Duchesne, who normally doesn't, I don't know. I feel like he's not an in-tight guy, you know?
The deserve to win-o-meter kind of surprises me a little bit with how skewed it is in the Stars' favor. You guys, it's 64.6% in favor of the Stars versus the Canucks 35.4. I honestly thought it was more even than that. I'm honestly very surprised to see it like that.
And I think the reason it feels that way is because when the Canucks did have pressure, it was super strong. When Pettersson and Besser were on the ice, it was terrifying. They looked super dangerous.
And Hughes.
And Hughes.
Dude, that guy is so good.
The problem is, though, the Stars' depth dominated every other line that they faced. I mean, 2 through 4 absolutely controlled them. And it wasn't like the Stars' top line was getting just dominated by the Pettersson line either. I mean, it was a battle. I think the Pettersson line got the better of that top line bout, but it wasn't like a blowout. 2 through 4 was a blowout. The Stars killed them.
Yeah, we pretty much played all the time on ice in the offensive zone for those bottom three lines.
Exactly. And I think that's really what moves those advanced analytics and expected goals more, is that the Stars just had that happening consistently. I feel like the Canucks had stronger bursts. The Stars just had that slow burn through the entire game.
Which is exactly what we want to see. I mean, that's the way they play. That's the way that this team is built to play right now.
It's built for depth. It's built for every line to score. And when you add that on top of some great goaltending and good enough defense on the blue line, I mean, the Stars can beat any team. And this is the team that you want to see as you head into the playoffs. They just got to keep this going. They got a few more games against some bad teams, 2 more games against top-tier teams in the Central Division, which will be huge and really fun to watch, just like this one was. You just got to keep this momentum rolling. I mean, there's not much more to say than that. It was a great game by the Stars. Can't do much better.
Okay, moving on to another player who he ain't washed up anymore, for those of you who are talking about that on X and other social media places. Jamie Benn, ladies and gentlemen. Goal and an assist. He gets his 900th point in his career, only the second Dallas Stars player to ever do so. And he also gets the game-winning goal here tonight as well on the power play, the second goal with just minutes remaining in the third period, you guys. Jamie Benn.
Yeah. I mean, what a month. And he's still got one game left. I'm calling for a hat trick in that game, because he has loved the month of March. I think they said he's got 8 goals in 7 games and a 7-game goal streak right now, which ties his longest in his career. I mean, that's insane. And it came out of nowhere, kind of. I mean, he's been having a fine season, but he's playing even better than he was last year this month. It's insane.
Yeah, he's basically back on pace to tie what he did last year.
Yeah, which is crazy. Especially, we were talking about him all year last year.
I think he was, what, second or third on the team in points, right? He had a 30-goal season.
He was second.
Yeah, yeah, he was at the very least third. He might have been second. But the thing that's crazy about Jamie Benn right now is he was setting up Stankoven and Wijo like crazy. He was the bread maker for both of those young guys. And now it just kind of seems like he's getting his own retribution for what he did for those two guys. And it's so cool to see if this continues for Jamie Benn. I mean, certainly he can get to 20 goals by the end of the season. Right. I mean,
a conclusion, especially with the teams we're playing against.
Well, and I don't expect him to keep this goal streak, guy. I'll be totally honest. I don't expect him to keep this. If he does to the end of the season, great. But, you know, there's no way that he doesn't get to 20 goals at this point. And I love being able to see a guy that is 34, you know, his best years are obviously behind him at this point, yet he is still finding a way to get himself on the score sheet still.
Yeah, I think he's finally starting to recognize the open ice that Wyatt Johnston and Logan Stankoven are giving him. I mean, he hasn't been playing with Stanky on that line for that long. Dodonov's not the fastest guy. I think you got two quick forwards on your line there. I think he's finally finding the ice that they're creating. It could be a little bit more sustainable than you think, Ryan.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan here. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Here's some odds for you for the Rocket Richard Trophy, which is the regular season top goal scorer. Obviously, right now, Austin Matthews leads the way. He's got a minus 330 in the odds. But you can also take a look at Sam Reinhart of the Florida Panthers with a plus 650, David Pastrnak of the Boston Bruins with a plus 1,000, or maybe you can even go for Nikita Kucherov at a plus 2,500. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Maybe you're right. But what this reminds me of a lot, you guys, is when they threw Pavelski on the line with Robo and Hintz. You know, Robo and Hintz, two young guys in their, you know, mid to lower 20s. Joe Pavelski in his, like, you know, mid to late 30s and almost 40 now. And it's kind of bringing the best parts of his game. Like, the thing that Pavelski and Ben have going for them is they have an extremely high hockey IQ. It seems like they know where to be at the right point. They might not have the same speed. They might not have the same sort of get up and go like they used to. But you put them with some guys who can still do that for them. And, I mean, look out for those lines. And that third line has been excellent for the Dallas Stars ever since Stankoven has come up. So speaking of Stan Coven, I think we got to mention this. I think there was probably about 150 people in attendance for Logan Stan Coven. This is his first, you know, NHL game in his home province in British Columbia. He lives in a town called Kamloops, which is just outside of Vancouver. It's, I think it's about an hour and a half away.
Does
maybe
he
2 hours.
In Kamloops?
Mm-hmm. He used to. Yeah, he used to. So, and of course, that's, you know, Razor absolutely adores him because that was the team that Razor played for when he was going through his major junior career. But it was really cool to see all the support that Logan Stankoven was having tonight.
Yep. Both BC boys, Ben and Stankoven, tearing it up.
I really wish I had tweeted this, by the way, going back to Ben, but they called the penalty, right? And I thought in my mind, I thought this would be absolutely perfect for Jamie Benn to get the goal. It's in British Columbia. It's, you know, he would be able to keep his goal streak going. And then this would put the Stars up 2-1 with like just minutes remaining in the third period. I wish I had tweeted it so I could have proof that I did it, but nonetheless, I have no proof, but still.
Sure.
Great. Yeah. I know exactly. Phil, sure. Anyways. Okay. The one stat that really surprised me tonight, and it got better in the third period, you guys, was the face-off circle. We were getting absolutely destroyed through the first two periods. I think at one point it was 80%. Like the Canucks were up like 80%.
In the second intermission, by the time we made it there, it was 74-26 for the Canucks.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they were destroying us on the dots. And it ends tonight 45-55. So honestly, that's pretty huge comeback for the Stars and the dots.
And they need it in the third period. The Stars looked much better with puck control in the third period. That's probably a big reason why.
And then James, another player you mentioned earlier was Robe Hintz. Robe Hintz finally gets the monkey off his back, and he had to. I think it took him like three times to actually get it in the net. It still hit the post.
And yeah, it was a perfect pass, and he still hit the post.
So he's able to get the goal early in the game. I wanted to get y'all's opinion on it because there were some people that were crying about it. But what did y'all think about the call by the Vancouver Canucks and Rick Tocchet in particular, the head coach, to go after that and say, oh, no, that was an illegal play. It was hit with a high stick. What did y'all think on that?
It's interesting to do that early in the game, I feel like. But it's definitely a 50-50 call there. I mean, that one really could have gone either way. I think you make the right call whenever it's that close and it takes that long to review it. You got to stick with what's on the ice. But it was 50-50. It was super close. So they took a risk and it didn't pay off.
Yeah, I feel like that's also feeling the game a bit, seeing how well both teams were playing defensively and how well both goalies were doing too, honestly. And then they honestly on that kill looked pretty good and it was going good. And maybe that's part of the thought process. Like the kill looked fine. They got a little lucky on a keep and try to challenge it. Maybe it went high, but nonetheless, it was a 50-50, like Chris said. And when it takes that long, it should just be what was called on the ice.
Yeah, and at that point in the game, it did feel like one goal is way bigger than it would be on like a 4-3 game too. And that was right. So maybe it was the right call.
Oh, so this is interesting, Richard. I didn't hear this from Bruce Levine. I wasn't listening on the ticket, obviously, but Bruce Levine said he was surprised it stood. When in the other case, Razor was talking about on the TV broadcast that he thinks that it was fine. And the other thing you have to also pay attention to, guys, is you have to listen to the way that the refs make the call. They didn't say the call on the ice stands, like they can't overturn it. They confirmed it.
They did say confirmed.
So it was a legal play, and that's what they came up with. Now, whether people agree with that or not, it is what it is. But
at least according to the NHL. All night long.
it, At least from a Dallas Stars fan perspective, absolutely. Yes.
I think that could have been in everyone's perspective. That was the most correct call I think they made the entire game.
And this kind of goes without being said. We knew this was going to happen anyways, but your Dallas Stars officially have over 100 points, and they are the first team in the Western Conference to be officially in a playoff spot. They returned to the playoffs for the fifth time in 6 years, and it's confirmed now. We all sort of kind of expected it. We have been talking about it for months, and multiple months, probably about 6 or 7 months, to be honest with you, the way they've played. How does this feel? Does this feel just kind of just like a check the box, okay, great, or does this feel like a, you know, like a monumental thing?
Definitely feels good. It's always good. You're checking the box, but it always feels good to check the box. And you're also checking the century box too, which is great as well. I mean, that's a hard plateau to get to. It's been easier the past few years, but not as many teams are going to hit that 100 point mark, I feel like, this season. So it's just good for the franchise to consistently get these playoff appearances, consistently be in the top of the league in points. It's going to draw players to you in the long term, but even short term, I'm more looking at standings in the conference and the President's Trophy more than I'm looking at playoffs and 100 points.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. Like, clinching the playoffs is nice. They're in a race for the President's Trophy. and that's the end of it. You're fighting to be the best in the regular season right now.
There is one thing I wanted to kind of discuss about with the way this game felt. And I kind of want to make some similarities between this game and then the playoff series that the Stars had against the Wild. So that game was very much a, we're just going to punch you in the face from the Minnesota Wild standpoint, and that's going to be the way that we're going to beat you. And for one game in that series against the Stars, it worked. I think it was like game three where they just did not play well. This game, I don't want to say it had as much intensity and add as much physicality as the Minnesota Wild series did, but I think that the Vancouver Canucks did have that physical element in their game. And that is something that I wish the Stars would do a little bit more. I shouldn't complain about it because we won the game tonight, but I'm wondering if that's something that we could pull out in the playoffs. Because again, we've got the guys for it. We've got a couple of guys who can do it. We've got Hawk and Paw when he's in the lineup and when he's healthy. And then we've especially got Jamie Benn and Mason Marchman, who have kind of got that snarl to them, that grit that everybody kind of talks about. Is this maybe a slight area of concern, or just whatever? Nah.
That physicality was one other thing that I wanted to point out from one person in particular in the first was Robertson. I mean, he got absolutely rocked on his first shift. I mean, he was destroyed. He didn't miss a beat, and he started giving hits right back too, and giving big hits back on forechecking. I mean, I think he had a really good first period from that standpoint, from seeing the physicality and not shying away like he did in that Minnesota series, because he definitely did. He was a ghost in that series. He was gone, but he was a presence still in the first period, even though he was just absolutely rocked.
Yeah, I think having some physicality is definitely necessary when the playoffs come around. I think a bigger problem for this Stars team is you need to find a way to not get drawn into that kind of game, because the Stars game all season long has been, we're going to outscore you and our goalie is going to be better than you, and that's how we're going to beat you. We don't have to out-physical you because we're just better than you. That's their game. They have the size now so that I feel like they're able to quote unquote defend against a more physical game. You got more size on the back end. You got more size in your forward groups as well. You got a big guy on every single line at least. And your fourth line is definitely bulked up from the past couple of seasons that the Stars have had. You got a lot more
muscle.
They can score. It's a lot harder to push us around as much as it has been the past few years in the playoffs for the Stars. So I think it's, I agree. There are people on this team who can match the physicality, but I think we need to make sure we don't do that. We need to go win hockey games the way the Stars win hockey games.
I think the more important thing is not shying away from that physicality, not maybe not encouraging it,
overly
and fighting back.
Yes,
but
yes,
but showing, hey, I'm not gonna go away just because you hit me.
There's definitely a line, and when a big physical play happens against you, you need to respond a little bit, and then you need to move on and go play hockey. So I agree. There's a line you got to dance. I think the more dangerous side of that line is the Stars being too physical. I think if you're going to err on one side, you err on being less physical, because we're a better hockey team than every other hockey team we're going to play.
The only reason why I asked that is because we saw a couple instances tonight where the Stars appeared to be bullied a little bit. Like, for example, Carson Soucy. Carson Soucy was getting in the face of Pavelski a couple times. I think Hintz was kind of bullied a couple of times. And I don't want to say we looked weak, because we didn't, but we just kind of blew them off and just kind of went about our business and won the hockey game.
And so, I think that frustrated the Canucks some too, because I mean, Pavelski was like laughing for a good 70% of that game, just laughing, whether it was at the other players or at the refs. He was just laughing the entire time. So that can be something where if you aren't giving them the reaction they want, can just frustrate the other team that way too.
And I think that definitely happened. You brought up the Minnesota series. That absolutely happened to the Wild. They were the most frustrated team that I saw the entirety of the playoffs. They were pissed off the whole time because they couldn't get to the Stars. They couldn't crack us, even with the physical game they were playing.
Right. The only thing that I would like to see just a little bit more is just a little bit more physicality and a little bit more clapback when they need it. They didn't need it tonight because they were extremely focused and they won the game. But the thing that worries me, it's just something I'm thinking about, is the physicality difference between Vegas and Minnesota was very different. Vegas was, they were an extremely skilled team. They had a great, you know, top six D and a good hot goalie at the time. And they had all the skill and the physicality to go along with that. So that's just where I'm getting at. I just need to shut up, because that shouldn't be a concern right now. But anyways, anything else that you guys can think of we need to talk about with this game, or can we move on? Biggest winner, biggest loser?
I'll tie mine into biggest winner, biggest loser.
Okay, so biggest loser first. Who you got?
Biggest loser? I don't know. I hate to give it to him, but Lundqvist had less than 10 minutes time on ice. I thought he didn't look too bad. He had a really good defensive play on the 2-on-1, but he's just not getting, I mean, we get to these playoff games, these big time games, he's just not getting the trust from the coaching staff. I didn't focus on him too much tonight, so maybe he did have a couple of bad plays that kept him off the ice, but it's tough having one guy on your team that's definitely being hidden.
James?
I'm going to give mine to Bluger on the Canucks side. That's a very costly penalty. I mean, that penalty cost the Canucks the entire game. Got to keep your stick down in the most important part of the game.
Yep.
Really cost a scene.
I'm still salty about it. So my biggest losers are all of the refs. Screw the refs. They're the biggest losers tonight. They almost ruined a perfectly good game. And it could have been, like, from an outside standpoint, if I'm not a Stars fan or a Vancouver fan. Yeah,
completely objectively. I'm talking completely objectively.
But, like, sorry. I'm just imagining if I'm just a regular hockey fan from Pittsburgh or wherever. Right. I don't know why I thought of Pittsburgh. I know. But, but, like, watching that game, that second period would bore me to tears. Especially after the first period. The first period was great. So and if we're talking about growing the game of hockey and making the product better, the refs are the biggest loser tonight for me.
Specifically for the second, I agree. I mean, the first period, that was spectacular to watch. And then you got to the second, and it was, I was yelling at the refs the whole time. It felt like both ways. And then we got to the third, and it was great again.
Yes, exactly. Because they put their freaking whistles in their pocket and left it alone. Okay, sorry, I'm off of it. Biggest winner, Chris.
Jake Oettinger, only one goal allowed, some big, huge saves. We talked about him a little bit. We got to talk about him more, because that was an outstanding game. And for him to turn the boat around at the exact right time in the season. I mean, we were talking about this for the past 2 months that it's on Ottinger. He's going to be the guy. He's got to figure it out. And here he is figuring it out after two of his worst games of the season, and he's turning it around. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see, and that's what I expect to see from Ottinger. I mean, he's a gamer. That's what he does.
James?
Biggest winner for me, without a doubt, is Jamie Benn. Gets his 900th point and scores the game winner late in the third period. Yeah, didn't hesitate a second on the shot either. Put it in a perfect spot. Far side, almost hit the post with it like last time. I mean, it's great to see from him, especially this month. It's just been on a tear.
And since y'all took my two obvious ones, I'll give mine to Roope Hintz. Roope Hintz got the Stars going. He got the goal to start the game. He absolutely needed that. And I hope that means that the floodgates are going to open up and the dam is just going to burst. And he's just going to have a barrage of goals to finish the last 8 games I think we have in the regular season. So
I feel like he had a really good game defensively too. His penalty kill was really good.
He always has a good game.
I know. I just noticed it, especially that, and especially getting back and helping defensemen get out of their own zone. I feel like he did that especially well tonight too.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm sleepy.
Yep.
Let's get out of the West Coast.
Yeah.
One more.
Saturday?
The last one.
Saturday
against the Kraken. We'll be back with you guys then. We appreciate all of y'all who have been listening live. There's been 69 people who have been listening to us at most live. I know, I knew Chris was going to especially love that. There's even more of you that are listening afterwards. We appreciate y'all. SarcasticRemarks.com is the website, y'all. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that promo code THPN. Alongside Chris and James, my name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dallas Stars are the number one team in the Western Conference, and they're in the playoffs once again. Chris?
Sad whale noises. GG, boys.